You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
We are celebrating still the Lord's resurrection, and we do that for 40 days, right? For the 40 days between Pascha and Ascension, we greet each other with Christ is risen. We sing this in the church. This is definitely the Paschal time. But these first two Sundays after Pascha, we are still very much focused on the resurrection itself, right? There's so many things happening at this time. When the Lord rises from the dead, so many people that are involved, so many things that have to be remembered that it can't all be remembered on one Sunday or even two. It spreads out over the first two Sundays, but even over the whole 40 days. Next week we begin to read the Gospels, like the Samaritan woman and so on and so forth. That's later. The blind man, the paralytic, that all begins. But now we are celebrating still very actively on this Sunday the resurrection of our Lord. I think the timing, well, it doesn't matter what I think. The timing is very clearly providential for us to celebrate on this day. On this day, we remember the radical sobriety of the murdering woman. Now, what do I mean by radical sobriety? They had no real reason to believe that they were going to get to that grave and that they were going to be able to have access to it. None. It made no sense. The best army in the history of the world was guarding this grave. There was a huge stone there. It's not like they were the murder-bearing weightlifting women. They were just women. So they were going to move the stone. Right? So they had no reason to believe necessarily from a worldly, logical, secular point of view that they were going to get there and everything was going to be fine. But they believed. They believed radically. And they weren't afraid even of this great army, which had no problem killing them, right? The Romans treated the Jews as something that they owned, which, I mean, basically they did. They took them over. They were completely subjected to them. So here we have these women who, there's no way that this is going to work. Yet, they trust that by doing their religious, spiritual duty, that the Lord will find a way to make it work. They don't know how it's going to work. All they know is that if they do the right thing, God will take care of the rest. And I think this is the really big, very important message that we are getting here today and that we have to take home with us. Sometimes we have to be radical in that we have to trust God, but we also have to be sober. The kind of radicalism that we engage in is in prayer. Is in good works. It's not in terrorism or all kinds of this other crazy stupidity. This is the Christian radicalism, where we believe that if we do the right thing, if we fulfill our duty, that God will bless and take care of the rest. I think this is really important now, because there's all kinds of craziness going on in our society. Not that that's not the way it's been all the time. See, I think every generation of Christians is shocked, just shocked, that the world is not conforming to their way of life. Our children will be shocked. Our grandchildren will be shocked. Our grandparents were shocked. Why we are shocked, I don't know. Because the world never conforms to Christ. We know that. What did the Lord say? The world hated me, it'll hate you. So this is not a surprise. This should not be some kind of shock to us, that the world is not conforming to our values. But our response cannot be the sort of chicken little theology of the sky is falling, let us run around, let us be crazy, let us do stupid stuff, let us yell and scream. That's not the Christian response. That's the response the world expects from us. That's what they think we are, that we're going to go crazy because the world wins some little victory. Monasticism started, brothers and sisters, after the church came out of the catacombs. Right? during the time of the catacombs, when there was a persecution, sometimes stronger, sometimes weaker, against the Christians, they all were living a very radical Christian life, in that they had every realistic expectation that they might die tomorrow because they were Christians, for no other reason, that they could be killed because they were Christians. Once Christianity became legal, open, there was nobody running around trying to kill Christians, of course, the level of zeal lessened. But there was a subset of people who still desired that great zeal, and they fled to the desert. They were still desirous of living that radical Christian expression. This is how monasticism began. And St. Anthony the Great was one of the first monastics, and one of the very important ones. He said something very interesting that I think is totally applicable for us today, and probably we should all memorize this. I'll put this on the blog sometime this week when I get a chance. He said that a time will come when men will be mad. That is, they will go crazy. And they will find a man who is not mad. And they will attack him. And they will say, "You are not like us. We have to kill you." Interesting. Interesting. I think very interesting for us and helpful in our days. But brothers and sisters, as we are treading our path towards the heavenly kingdom, which is a narrow path, which is a path of struggle, we cannot be, we must not be. It's impossible for us to be shocked that the world is screaming away from us in the other direction. This also ebbs and flows. There are times when the sort of world and the church are closer together. My left hand is the world, right? The church is kind of plodding along and the world gets close. But then there are times when it goes away. We're just going down the same path. We're not changing stuff. We're not doing new things. We're not inventing new faith. We're sticking to the faith that the Lord gave us. So we're going along, and the world kind of does this. It comes closer, it goes farther away. I think we do ourselves a great disservice if we get all freaked out. That's not a theological term, but you know what it means. We get all excited and upset and start screaming and writing inappropriate things on Facebook, not that that would ever happen, just hypothetically. Those kind of things don't help anyone. But they do fulfill what the world expects from us. That we will lose our minds and go crazy and say bigoted things and so on and so forth. We should say Christian things. We should say things that are about love. We should say things that are about Christ-centeredness. We should say things that are the same things that our fathers said and our grandfathers and everyone all the way back to the apostles. See, we are treading this path. We're not on this path. You can't even get on this path. Every time you try to get there, it moves anyway. That's not what the church is doing. The church is treading the straight path, the path that leads to the heavenly kingdom. This is why I think it's so helpful for us, brothers and sisters, as the world happens to be taking one of these turns. Now, might come back, might not. Do you remember the murmuring women and Joseph and Nicodemus? They put it all on the line, to use a worldly term. They sacrificed everything for Christ. Everything. There was every expectation that those women would be killed. There was every expectation that they would never roll away the stone, even if for some unbelievable reason this best army in the history of the world had fled the scene. There was every expectation that Joseph and Nicodemus were going to suffer terrible consequences in the society that they lived in for being Christ's disciples. So they all didn't do anything and they sat at home. No, they went and did what needed to be done. They fulfilled their religious, their spiritual obligation. They lived a Christ-centered life. Now, Christ happened to be right in front of them, but the fact of the matter is that that's what we are called to also. Right? If every time the world does one of these, we run around and scream and wave our hands and run through the streets, what does that help? Sobriety, brothers and sisters, is a central virtue of Christianity. Immediately following the consecration of the gifts, there's a prayer that the priest reads and asks for help and virtue for the people. The first thing he asks for, it's not, I don't make this up, Right, this is written down by St. John Chrysostom and St. Basil the Great, way above my pay grade. Sobriety. Spiritual sobriety. We aren't good at it. And I don't mean that we are drinking a lot of alcohol and therefore we are unsober. That's not the kind of sobriety I'm talking about. Spiritual sobriety. Keeping our heads. Being calm. We can be in great disagreement, but we can't lose our Christian sobriety. And these women, they show us radical sobriety. They didn't go to the tomb with, you know, some kind of weapons and like, we're going to fight it out with these soldiers. They just went there understanding that if they did the right thing, the Lord would bless them. So brothers and sisters, let's do the right thing. Let's maintain our sobriety, even in the face of insanity sometimes that we find in the world around us. Don't be shocked. That's the way it's always been. And that's the way it's always going to be. Christians are a people set apart, not in a proud way, but we don't follow the world. We live in it, but we aren't consumed by it. How do we square that circle? How do we live in the world without being consumed by it? We work on our transfiguration. We work on becoming the true sons and daughters of God. If we are doing that, the world can do all of this wherever it wants to go. We will stay on the straight path. If we want to be 1 millimeter away from the world all the time, we're going to be caught up in the whirlwind of whatever is the newest fad, and it's going to pull us away. So brothers and sisters, we are sent to the world to raise the world to a higher place. Let's decide that we are going to do that. Not by running around like chickens with their heads cut off, not by yelling and screaming, but by praying. Is our friend at work following some kind of new fad which is very spiritually hurtful to that person? Yelling and screaming at that person is only going to fulfill the presumption that they have about Christians. Praying quietly for that person with love is what's going to help that person. And that's true for every person that we have in our family and that we have contact with in the world. We have to pray, brothers and sisters, for this world. We are sent here by the Lord to raise it to a higher plane. So let's do that. Let's do that by redoubling our efforts at being Christians, even if the world is running away from Christ. Let's do that by redoubling our efforts towards our transformation, towards our transfiguration. Is the world running as fast as it can to perdition? Go more often to confession and communion. Are our neighbors setting up some kind of crazy political something or other? Come more often to church and pray for them. Not as, oh, I am so good, not the prayer of the Pharisee, but the thankful prayer of a servant. The Lord has given us the pearl of great price. He has allowed us to be here. If the world says throw away the pearl, let's not throw it away and follow the world. Let's hold the pearl. Let's try to multiply the pearl. And let's try to be a light for the world. If we can do that, brothers and sisters, then we emulate these women and their radical sobriety that they exercise today. The church is holding them up for emulation. It wasn't like they said, well, first Sunday's got to be Thomas because that's 8 days after. Let's just throw these women in here and we'll move on. This is an expectation that everyone will be in the church on Sunday listening to the gospel and learning about the example of the myrrh-bearing women. These meek women and their radical sobriety are an example for us that we should follow. Let's ask their prayers. They were there in the impossible situation. Let's entreat them that they will pray to the Lord for us, that we think we're in an impossible situation. Where's the army guarding the way to church doors? It's not that bad. We always think it's worse in our generation. Ask the prayers of these, some of whom are named equal to the apostles, great purveyors of the Orthodox Christian faith, that they will pray to the Lord for us, and that he will strengthen us, and that even if the world has decided that it wants to hurl itself towards perdition, it will remain on the straight path to the heavenly kingdom. May the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.